In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today in the church is the festival of all of the saints. And it is understandable that this feast day in our church would be the Sunday after Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit is sent by Christ from the Father to us, that we would be holy as God is holy. And the law of Moses is already written, Leviticus, "You therefore shall be holy because I am holy." And this is quoted, of course, in the New Testament, in the letter of Peter. "Because I am holy, you will be holy, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Now, we know that we are pronounced holy by God, but we have to, and we are consecrated and sanctified by God already, all of us, everybody. But we have to receive that, and we have to live it out. And there are, through the ages, especially as we know here in this monastery, hundreds, thousands of saints, holy people, from the beginning, from before Christ, and right up to our own present day. There are those whom God has revealed as really being holy, saintly people who are with God. And we know by becoming acquainted with them, and they're all here, you know, surrounding us in church, how different they all are. All different kinds of people, young and old, rich and poor, learned and unlearned, you know, men and women, children, so many holy people. And the expression in the epistle that we just heard was, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses. And if that's the case, then we have to attend to ourselves. You see, what are we doing? How are we behaving? How are we acting? Are we receiving the Holy Spirit? Are we living by it? Are we ready to surrender everything to be a disciple of Christ and to be with God the Father and filled with the Spirit? That's the question that's given to us today. But when we look at the saints and see how different and various and what a great variety they are in so many different ways, we know that there are certain things that unite them all. That whoever they might be, every single holy person who is holy will always have a God-centered life, will always be striving and struggling to love God with all mind, soul, heart, and strength. They will be struggling and praying to reveal this, manifest this by loving one another, and by loving everyone and everything without exception. And of course, the gospel says especially their enemies, our enemies. St. Silouan just canonized very recently. He died the year before I was born, actually, on Mount Athos. He said that the love of the enemy is the proof that we are with God. And he also said that the one who does not love his enemy will never know God, never. You know all about God, you could quote books, write books, talk about it, say prayers, but until we really, by the Holy Spirit, love our enemies and love everyone and everything without qualification, we still don't know God and we are not with God. Now, of course, the foundation of holiness is faith. Faith, to trust God. To not only believe in him, but to believe him. And to take him at his word and his promises. And every saint did that. Every saint did that. They lived by faith. And in the epistle that's read today, it's the 11th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. And I would just suggest that you take literally 3 minutes today and read that whole chapter. We have selections of it in the epistle reading here. You have... Faith is the substance of things not seen, the assurance of things that are invisible. But this faith is a gift of God that's given to us. And then everyone who is holy by faith. And if you read that chapter, you will see how the author, going through the whole Old Testament, not the new, the old, said, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. I counted yesterday 23 times the word faith is in that one chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. So faith is the foundation of everything. It says in Scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's impossible to know God. Because the knowledge of God is given when we trust Him, when we take Him at His word. And then we come to know, indeed know, that all this is true and all this is so. And then, of course, together with faith, all the saints have hope. You know, St. Paul's big three, faith, hope, and love. All the saints have hope. They hope. They trust. They never lose hope. They never despair. And despair is the worst of all sins. Despair is the worst of all sins when hope is gone. You know, in Dante's Inferno, he had a sign over the door of hell, the Inferno. Those who are here abandon all hope. You know, and that's probably why they're there, you know, because they've abandoned all hope and never even had hope in the first place. But the hope is the trust in God again. Expecting God to come through. Expecting that what He promises will come. And hope even assures us that, I can put it this way, there's an English woman mystic named Julianne of Norwich. And she said, when at the end of the age the Lord comes in glory with all His saints, with all the saints and all the angels, she said, we will be totally delighted and thrilled not only by what He does, but by how He does it. How He pulls it off, you know. And we don't know how He's going to do that. We don't know. We see through a glass mirror darkly. It's veiled. But the gift of the Holy Spirit to us is the foretaste of what it is. The Apostle Paul wrote, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. But this is revealed to us in the saints and through the Holy Spirit already in the church. And then, of course, there's love. Love binds all things together. Love is, God is love. And it's all for the sake of love. And every saint is a lover. It's a lover. But there's something that might more be said today, especially following the teachings of the Holy Fathers, and that is this, that faith and hope and love and all virtue, every good thing, every grace, every divine quality that we can have being made in God's image and likeness, and saved for that by Christ, it is rooted and grounded in humility. Humility. You can even know that verb, grounded, is a good word, because humility comes from the word humus, which means soil. It means the ground. And all the Holy Fathers say that humility is the source of every virtue. And without it, no one is holy. And without it, no one can believe, no one can hope, no one can love. Faith, hope, and love themselves are dependent on humility. Humility. Pride is the ugliest and ultimate of all the sins. We think we know. We think we're better. We judge, you know, all that kind of thing. The devils, the angels fell and became devils through pride. And pride is the worst. It's the worst. Vanity and pride. And it's all humility. Humility. Now, when there is humility, and you find humility in every single saint, you can't find a saint who is proud or vain. You can't find a saint who doesn't really know that everything she or he has been given by God, that we have nothing that we have not received, and we have nothing not only that we have not received from God, but that we have not received from other people. Today, as we know, is Father's Day. Well, if a father is a real father in the image of God the Father, then that father is a giver. And he wants his children to have more and be more and do better than he and his wife themselves do. You know, it's we receive from other people. And I'm always struck in church, you know, how we sing all these songs and everything. And somebody wrote them. You know, someone wrote them. We see these icons, you know, somebody painted them. You know, we read the books of the fathers that's given to us, and we even call the fathers fathers, and we use all this language in church, you know. St. Paul said, when you are with God, you treat every older man as your father, every older woman as your mother, every one of your own age and there is your brother or sister, and all who are younger are your children. And we use that language in church. We call the mothers mothers. We call father father. We call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And the older people have spiritual children. You know, and that means that this giving that ultimately comes from God, that it's given to us, and it humbles us. It humbles us. And then we come to even know the humility of God himself, because he gives himself totally, completely, even unto death. There ain't greater humility than that, you know. So it's rooted in humility. But where you have humility, you also have courage. You have energy. You can't imagine a cowardly saint. It's unimaginable. Because once you fear God, then you don't fear anything else. Nothing else. But you have to have the fear of God in order not to fear anything else. And fear is, courage is not necessarily not being afraid. You know, it's normal to be afraid. But courage is acting and believing in the face of all of our fears and anxieties and whatever we have in our life. So a humble person is a courageous person. And then another thing that founds faith and hope and love and all the holiness is patience. Patience. Patient endurance. Going through things to the end. He who perseveres to the end will be saved, the Lord said. I can't resist telling you how once my mentor in the Christian faith, Professor Serge Verhofskoy, was the professor at the seminary who kind of laid his hand on me, and I became his successor, and with him on until he died. And then after he died, I had his courses. But when he was dying, I remember once I went to visit him, you know, and he used to like to like joke, and he would say, "Oh, you only come to see me to get merits," he used to say. You know, I said, "Yeah, I need some merits, you know, so I'm coming to see you." But once I said to him, for some reason, when he was dying, I said, "Well, remember, Prof, he who perseveres to the end will be saved." And he looked up at me from the bed and he said, "To the end, Father Tom, to the end. Because it ain't over till it's over, you know." You know, someone said, we can be assured by hope that everything in the end will be good. So if things are not too good, we know it's not the end yet. No, we have to get there. So humility and courage and patience, endurance to the end every day, and all the little things, that's what makes a holy person. Now, I read recently this same word of St. Isaac of Syria. And it's an amazing thing, this sentence I'm going to read to you. He said, without humility of heart, because our Lord Jesus said, "Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart." And the Lord is humble in heart, and we have to be humble in heart. And the only sacrifice to God is a broken and contrite and a humble heart. That's the ultimate. And that has to be there. So Isaac writes, without humility of heart, now listen to this, good works prepare us for great evils, and heavenly visions prepare us for dark and painful afflictions. Which means we could be involved in good works, and we may even be given heavenly visions. But without humility of heart, the good works only prepare us for great evils. and the visions that we may have, by God's grace, ultimately will serve only to prepare us for dark and painful afflictions. So let's pray to God on this Day of All the Saints. We of course pray that we could be holy ourselves, but we could also pray for their intercession. One of the very comforting lines in the scripture, it's only in Matthew, the Lord said, anyone who acknowledges a prophet because he is a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. And anyone who honors a righteous person because they are righteous will receive that righteous person's reward. Well, we have to try to be righteous ourselves, but we also can take very great comfort that if we're not very righteous, as long as we honor these righteous people, God will reward us. And sometimes I think that's the best we can do, you know, at this day and age. But it would be enough for our salvation, because that comes from humility that produces every other virtue. Amen.